Welcome to our first podcast for 2023. A very happy new year to all of our lovely listeners, both regular and new. I'm Vicky Harris, Head of Learning at the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists, the RCSLT, and I'm delighted to be chatting with my colleague, Derek Munn, Director of Policy and Public Affairs, to find out what's been going on and what's coming up. Hi, Derek.
Good afternoon, Vicky.
Well, nice to see you again. So 2022 was a challenging year, but I wonder what positives came out of it?
That's an interesting opener. I recall that in the December podcast, we were talking about the highs and lows of the year gone by. And I guess, were there positives last year? Well, yes, there were. But they're set in the context of the challenges that we know we face with vacancies, with morale, with well-being, with workforce, with waiting lists and times, all of those things. Those are never forgotten. We had some success with mainstream media coverage. It's a pity that the situation facing speech and language is such that, you know, that's contributed to the cut through. But, you know, we had the front pages of different papers, and we've been on broadcast media, probably to a greater extent than before, and an awareness in the system too, that we matter. So it's often the case that when we talk about the need for speech and language therapy, we go, look, it's not just us that are saying this. And seeing NHS providers and the NHS Confederation and select committees of the House of Commons all singling out speech and language therapy as an area that requires attention, that's a positive. But what's anyone doing in response? I would say that I was pleased that NHS England has continued to have a greater recognition than it had before of children's early language, complementing what's known on the education side. And I look forward to seeing that develop this year. And, of course, it was the year that we finally saw apprenticeships begin with the first apprenticeship courses in Essex and Birmingham. And that's great development that we look to see go further in future.
Thank you. That's great. And I wonder, what are the big areas of focus for your team as we go into 2023, please?
Mostly, Vicky, a continuation of things that regular listeners will have heard before, although I may come on to some new stuff later in our conversation. Workforce remains a dominant matter in all four countries of the UK. I've already mentioned the issues we know about. We're currently doing a member survey around vacancies. Loads of people have responded, many hundreds. Please do fill in the vacancy survey if you can. The information will be critical. We know that the NHS England workforce plan is being put back again. We expect it in the spring. You may recall, though, that Jeremy Hunt, in his autumn statement, he said it would now be independent. What it appears to mean is that NHS England will produce the plan as planned. It will then be independently reviewed. That seems to be what it now being independent means in practice. Of course, that's going to be a further delay. If it does include specific numbers that it thinks are needed for speech and language therapists, well, that could be a mixed blessing depending on what the numbers are. We're also involved quietly in discussions with Welsh Government around their forthcoming workforce strategy, and likewise in Northern Ireland and Scotland. NHS England are also doing a demand and capacity review in London, which may be helpful, and we're engaging with that. The second area that regular listeners will know about will be the mental health legislation. Just today, as we record, the committee looking at the draft legislation as reported doesn't really have all that we would look for in it, and we're going to say that in response. We're on tenterhooks, still waiting for the announcement on mental capacity professionals. Neurodiversity, not only terminology, but other kind of conceptual matters, remain a big issue around the UK. On integrated care systems in England, just before Christmas, the new Health Secretary asked Patricia Hewitt, the former Labour Health Secretary, to do a quick review of the effectiveness of integrated care systems. I think that was partly political, that the new Secretary of State wanted to be seen to be doing something, and also perhaps by asking Patricia Hewitt to do it, tried to tie Labour in to a greater degree of support for the reforms. Nonetheless, we very quickly put something in to that Hewitt review. The other thing I would mention on integrated care systems is work we're doing both with the children's sector and with the community rehab sector to try and audit and hold to account integrated care systems, what they are or aren't doing in those respects. Still at UK level, it remains a busy time in respect of education. I and colleagues this morning met with Robin Walker, the new chair of the Education Select Committee. He has a very good understanding of our issues. It was a productive meeting. We are awaiting the SEND review, as it now looks like it will be. It seems legislation is unlikely. And the Education Select Committee are also looking at early years. They're looking at childcare and they're looking at school absence. And we recently put a very comprehensive evidence document into the Welsh Senedd on school absence. So we'll be making use of that evidence base. And lastly, you know, people continue to, speech and language therapists continue to report the ongoing impact of COVID-19, not only in its direct impact on people, but in the legacy impact on services and on people in need of speech and language therapy. And related to that, the public inquiry at UK level continues to go, and our bids in to be a core participant for the module of the public inquiry, which will look at post-pandemic. So that's some of the stuff that we've brought with us into 2023.
Great, thank you. Well, I wonder, I'm thinking around the UK now, what are the key developments that listeners need to know about?
From a UK point of view, we're now in the build-up to a general election. Now, views differ on exactly what the last date is. I'm in the camp that says they can run 5 years from when the parliament was first called, which is the beginning of 2020. So I don't think there has to be an election until February 2025, called a few weeks before that. The betting is that it will be at some point in 2024, but the parties are gearing up in case it goes earlier. What it means for us, well, it means that the UK government, which, as we know, Rishi Sunak still doesn't really have the support of his parliamentary party, they're very nervous about bringing legislation forward. They've pulled the schools bill. They're no longer going to have a bill on SEND, it seems. We don't know if they'll go ahead with the mental health reforms. They're just very nervous of trying to get anything through the House of Commons. And we are could spend 2 years kind of shadow boxing around the election without that much happening as politics rather than government comes to the fore. It also means, of course, that we need to up our engagement with the Labour Party about what Labour's proposals are and what they would do were they to be successful in getting into government. And we are doing that. In the meanwhile, there may be another election in Northern Ireland in the course of the spring. Other developments? Well, Health Education England will at the end of March be merged into NHS England. So will NHS Digital. But HEE has been a big partner and interlocutor for us. And that's going to be a significant change to the way that we do business with the system in England, as HEE is no longer distinct from the NHS. I would mention in Scotland, the National Care System Bill is ongoing, very much framework legislation. But as I've mentioned, we were delighted that Scottish Government have written inclusive communication into that bill. We're pleased we see that as the way going forward. And we're also working in Scotland on children's early language across the country. Proactively, we are going to be launching a campaign soon, along with other professions that do not yet have full prescribing rights, to return to the issue of the need to have those full prescribing rights. So stand by and I'll have a lot more to say about that next month.
Thank you. Obviously, that's a lot, but have we missed anything?
Just one more thing I might add, which is very important for those people that it matters to. Of course, obviously, most speech and language therapists don't wear a uniform, but some speech and language therapists do wear a uniform. And there's been an ongoing review in England of uniforms for different professions, different allied health professions. It has been stunningly contentious for those engaged with different professions, crying foul, throwing their toys out of the pram. And this comes down to quite small parts of the uniform and the choice of colours, to be honest. So we know, and I know, because I'm told by the people running the consultation, that nearly 3,000 responses have been received from the speech and language therapy sector. So uniform and uniform colours is a huge issue for those involved. There's a review and a consultation going on right now. If it matters to you, get involved.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Derek. We'll meet again next month, the mid-February catch-up. And you did mention COVID earlier on, and I should mention to listeners that we are expecting to release a podcast on long COVID and the effects of it next week. So look out for that. Thanks a lot. Bye.